Hi, welcome to Exec Insider Secrets, made for busy leaders and entrepreneurs. In this podcast, we get to the source and the source of success. Hear from execs who bear all and share their insider secrets, along with my episodes aimed at optimizing your performance, productivity, success, and well-being. My name's Estelle Reed, and I'm an executive coach, trainer, and author at B. Okay, let's begin. So today I'm going to talk about how to deal with a fear of failure related procrastination, because this is something that I come across routinely in my coaching practice. So we're going to look at where this comes from, but also at the end I'll give you a three-step process which will help you to move on from fear-related procrastination and to totally deal with it. So many years ago, when my daughter was in reception class, I remember hearing, "You are a star, just the way you are," floating out of the classroom windows. And it was the chorus of a song that was sung regularly at her school. And these words were being sung with vigour and conviction from these little kids. And they do like fist pumps in the air to emphasise the belief in themselves, indoctrinated into the little brains that they were absolutely enough and made perfectly. Now, I don't know when you were born, because obviously I don't know who's listening. But I was born in the 70s, and therefore 70s and 80s education was slightly different. Definitely no confidence building songs designed to encourage self-acceptance. In fact, it tended to be the opposite. I can remember getting my wrist slapped with a ruler, public humiliations and put downs. And I've also heard many harrowing stories which have left scars on my clients, of being mistreated at school and people being humiliated. And because these events occur whilst our personality is forming, it helps to create our identity in sometimes good, but also sometimes in limiting ways. And they're just echoes of our past being re-triggered in adulthood from hard childhood. And one of the things that I look at with my clients is, particularly if there's procrastination going on, and one of the areas we will explore is there a fear of failure? Because we can use procrastination to prevent us from doing the thing that we're afraid of. So back to those kind of life-changing and identity-creating events. I can remember having a life-changing pep talk in front of my fellow classmates. We'll just call him Mr. Biology Teacher. He looked a bit like Fergal Sharkey's twin. Do you remember that 80s pop singer? And he'd dress himself in ski pant style joggers with like go faster stripes down the side and a stirrup underfoot. And this was so that he could quickly switch topics. So one minute he'd be teaching you biology, next minute he'd be teaching us from a canoe up in the Lake District. Anyhow, I'd been blankly staring into space. That was one of the things I used to like to do. I think they call it blue sky thinking these days. I wasn't paying attention, in all honesty. I'd zoned out. Just a little bit like the time when I was canoeing with Mr. Biology Teacher, and I obviously didn't listen to the instructions then, and my canoe capsized and I got stuck underwater. The reason I got stuck is I wasn't paying attention, I'd not listened to the instructions, and my splash deck was inside out. So the tab to pull the splash deck off was tucked inside. So I had to very quickly undo the tie that was around my waist and get out of the canoe that way. So I was underwater quite a while. And I can remember bursting to the top of this lake and Mr. Biology Teacher saying, "Wow, what a great capsize." What he didn't know is that actually I was struggling underneath. But that gives you some context for why this teacher might have been annoyed with me. Anyway, so I'm there, back in the classroom, not paying attention, blankly staring into space. And he was annoyed. And he said, "You're a tart and you'll never amount to anything in life." And so there was a fair bit of public humiliation, shame, being told that was never going to amount to anything in life. And in all fairness, I mean, I was sat there with my electric blue mascara on, white pearlescent lipstick. My mum used to say I looked like I'd just been sick. So maybe he was justified in his comments. But do you know what? Actually, what he said gave me a real kick up the rear. And if you're listening, Mr. Biology Teacher, I developed my first silent screw you, wait and see. The thing is with me is I never like to be told what I can and can't do. And if you tell me I can't do something, then I'll make double the effort to prove that I can. Anyway, so that was my one of the standout moments. There was another standout moment, which I think again created this fear of failure, certainly from my perspective, and held me back until I realised what was going on, because I didn't want to re-experience those feelings related to failure. And this was at the same school, and this guy, if I described him, and he certainly left his mark on me, not that kind of mark, but he had like a mullet style wavy mane, which he kind of flicked over his shoulder in a "I'm worth it" advert type way. And he really thought he was the bee's knees. Well, actually, you can scratch that. I think he thought he was one of the Bee Gees. And in fact, he used to strut the corridors. And I'm sure he used to be playing Staying Alive in his head, you know, the bit about using his walk and being a woman's man. He didn't do anything for me, but I know some of the fifth formers, I'm showing my age now, used to drool over, in inverted commas, Barry Gibb. And that was probably my downfall, because when my GCSE results came out, and I did better than everyone expected, so I stumped up the courage to go and see Barry, because he was the gatekeeper for the sixth form. But it turned out my reputation preceded me. And I felt absolutely like I just wasn't good enough for his elite club. Or at least that's how his words and his disapproving look made me feel at the time. Barry, let's call him, said I'd be more suited to the local college, which had a real reputation for taking dropouts, and it was more suited for the academically inept. I wasn't either, but it is amazing when we're told something at a vulnerable age that we take it on board. And to be honest, I did try it on for size for a little while. My friend and I used to decide whose turn it was to skive off, and we'd cover for each other and exchange notes and all that sort of thing. Michelle, if you're listening. Love you, babe. Anyway, I'd not learnt to challenge what was being said to me at that stage. And so I did as I was told. I went off to college. And it's stories like these that I hear from my clients. Some, in fact, are far worse. Some are absolutely hideous, some of the stories I've heard, which cause them to feel not good enough or like a failure. And feeling like this takes bandwidth when we're triggered in the workplace, and it impacts on our state of mind, well-being and productivity, because we're that busy thinking about, you know, or obsessing or procrastinating. We've got, it feels sometimes like a weight. I know, take for example, you know, some of you who've listened to me before will have heard me talk about the fact I procrastinated over writing my flipping book for 10 years. And it's, I have to say, I regret that. I do regret it. And it's taught me a lot that if I'd realised what pattern of behaviour was going on, that maybe I could have got it done a lot sooner. Anyway, but it's interesting, isn't it, how our fears can keep us stuck. And I know that until I'd written my flipping book, it was like a weight on my shoulder. It was something I knew I needed to do. And that's what it's like, isn't it, when we procrastinate over things. It feels like this heavy weight, this thing that's not been dealt with. And as long as we're carrying that weight, as I say, it takes bandwidth and it affects our productivity, our well-being, our state of mind, and our beliefs about what we're capable of. Anyway, so how do we overcome this fear-related procrastination? Well, when I'm working with clients, I explain that we've basically got two options when it comes to changing limiting beliefs, behaviours, or emotions. And a fear of procrastination, not a fear of procrastination, a fear of failure-related procrastination absolutely is a feeling that we get. It absolutely drives our behaviour, and there are absolutely limiting beliefs associated with it. Now, we can either, number one, cheat and use something called havening, which if you've listened to my podcast before, you'll have heard me talk about, which magically erases these events often in childhood. So, you know, I referred to two childhood events earlier. Have I havened them? Yeah, I absolutely have. I've got over them. So you can, as I say, you can cheat, you can use havening, or we can use the number two strategy, which is the traditional coaching approach, which is to use mental strategies to change behaviour and the way that we feel and the way that we think to overcome the issue. One of my favourite films, I love Norman Wisdom. I used to watch Norman Wisdom films with my granddad, and he just cracks me up. I love the way he acts, and it's just a bit of lighthearted entertainment. Anyway, I was introducing my daughter to his films, and we were sat watching this film. And anyway, there's this guy on stage, and he's just about to publicly fail on this stage. And Norman Wisdom stands up in the audience, and he says, "Forgotten the words, just la la re." Oh, it cracks me up. We've rewound that scene I don't know how many times, because it just, as I say, it just makes me laugh. And this moves me on to my three-step process for dealing with a fear of failure-related procrastinating. And the process is called LA. So we're just going to la-la it, just like Norman Wisdom. So the la-la it model stands for learning, action, review and refine. So L is for learning. So that's the first step. So during COVID, many of my clients have been learning excessive amounts, searching for solutions to resolve pandemic related business issues. And I include myself in this. I have consumed endless webinars, podcasts, blogs and books, searching for a solution. However, what I've noticed is that sometimes we can get stuck in the learning phase, and we use it as an excuse to procrastinate and stay stuck. So I use the example about, you know, taking 10 years to write my book. I did courses. I bought and read many books on how to write a book. I could probably actually write a book on how to write a book now. And yet I still hadn't moved on to the next stage, which is action. But before we move on to that next stage, I convinced myself that I didn't know enough, and that I needed to learn more before I could take the plunge. How many times have you done that? You know, how many times have you thought, oh no, I just need to know a bit more before I can actually move on and take action? So one of the reasons I convinced myself that I didn't know enough and that I continued to learn and absorb information was because I failed, in inverted commas, early on in my book writing attempts. I can remember sharing enthusiastically the first chapter of my manuscript with a few people. So this is over 10 years ago. Most people said it was amazing, but I focused on the one person who red-ringed my work. It was a bit like being back at school. And that was it. I stopped writing. It took me right back to feeling like I wasn't good enough. Eventually, when I did pick up the courage and started to bash out words on a keyboard again, I kept getting stuck. And what was interesting is I hadn't recognised that actually it was time to learn some more. So I hired a book coach in the end, Debbie Jenkins, or Debs Jenkins, as she likes to be known as, if you're looking for a book coach. And I hadn't, so I just hadn't realised it was, I did actually need to learn more. So again, it's equally important. It's trying to strike a balance between, have I learnt enough, or do I need to, am I lacking information? And this is causing me to not move on to the next stage. So therefore, recognise when you're procrastinating and you've learnt enough for the next step, which I've said is action. And you not make sure that you're not using learning as an excuse to avoid action or failure. Equally, recognise when you're stuck because you've missing information and need to learn more to be able to move on to the next step. So let's move on to the next step. A is for action. When I first started coaching about 16, 17 years ago, I'd get frustrated and confused as to how it was I could talk. I could talk about a topic for 2 hours, or a client could talk about a topic for 2 hours. They'd identify an action plan to resolve the issue, and then they'd come back the following month not having done a thing. But often a fear of failure was the culprit. If we don't take action, we stay stuck, but also we prevent ourselves from failing, don't we? I think also our preferred learning style can play a part in whether we act too. For example, are you an activist? Are you a reflector? Are you a theorist or a pragmatist? I know I'm a classic activist, and when I recently started this podcast, it's still a bit rough around the edges, but it is better than the very first one. Didn't record it in the ideal environment. The birds were tweeting in the background. So if you want a bit of a laugh, go and listen to number one. My swing seat was creaking. I think you could hear traffic in the background. But I just wanted to have a go because I was in the right state of mind. And if I'd overthought it too much and worried about how I was going to edit it and all of that, I'd have stayed at stage one and never published it. And as an activist learner, I'll find that I just jump in with both feet. So I'll observe what I did, what worked, but also what didn't work, and then just try again. And again, that's a useful message or point to take away that, you know, think about, well, what is the worst that can happen? And what can you learn from an experience? Therefore, with regards to taking action, treat it like an experiment, because you can perfect and get better as you continue through the cycles of the La-La-It model. So just as I was rubbish at the beginning of my podcast, I'm getting slightly better every time I record another one of these podcasts. So the final section of the model is R, and R is for review and refine. So I'm up to, this is podcast number 4, I think. And each time I'm trying to enhance it a little bit more. So for example, I've got an intro and an outro on this one. I've tweaked the artwork, I've tweaked the description, I've changed the structure. And last session, I introduced a guest. It's by no means perfect. Also, for example, the other day I went back to step one, learn, and I learned how not to edit. So again, this is a continuous cycle, is the La-La-It model, and absolutely links to the growth mindset. And if you're interested in the growth mindset, look up the book Black Box Thinking, which is all about learning from failure. And some of the top performers, they will take advantage of what they refer to as marginal gains. So they'll do something, they'll hone it, they'll improve, they'll learn from the failure, and then they'll move on. Therefore, under the R is for review and refine, avoid excessively reviewing and refining, because again, you can get stuck at this stage as well. We can try to perfect something before releasing it into the big old wide world. You know, how many times have you drafted or produced something, but then not had the courage to press send or to put it out into the big old wide world? you know, think of it as your pilot, a little bit like, you know, when producers do testing of a new show. Then once you've taken action, you can review the feedback that comes in and refine it. And in the NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming community, we believe there's no failure, only feedback. And again, just treat it as, just because something isn't 100% right, it's just feedback. Learn, grow, move on from it. So to summarize, get clear on what stage you're stuck at. Are you stuck at learning? Are you stuck at action? Or are you stuck at review and refine? So have that, you know, awareness of where you're at. Be brave. Take action. And just as you think about failing, be like Norman Wisdom and say to yourself, just la la it. So if any of these topics have piqued your interest and you'd like to optimise your performance, productivity, success or well-being, here are the next steps. Book a free coaching discovery meeting with me. Please bear in mind I have a limited number of sessions available each month. Want to get to know me a bit more? Why not connect with me on social media? See the link below to book and or connect. I'm Estelle Reed, executive coach, trainer and author at B, and this has been Insider Exec Secrets. Thanks for listening.